found him faithful. In the lion's den, he sent fire down from heaven. When Elijah called on him, and though Joseph was forsaken, he was rewarded with a throne. And when David felt his heart break, he could sing this song. Every need supplied, every moment satisfied. Every time I call his name, I know I'll find him just the same. If you've gone out on a limb, or your way it may seem dim, don't give up and don't give in, casting all your care upon him. He said we could move mountains with faith of a mustard seed. So I know our God is able to meet our every need. And one day with all the blood-washed saints, we'll gather round the throne, and in anthem sweet crowns at his feet, we'll sing them on and on. Every need supplied, every moment satisfied. Every time I call his name, I know I'll find him just the same. If you've gone out on a limb, or your way it may seem dim, don't give up and don't give in, casting all your care upon him. Every need supplied, every moment satisfied. Every time I call his name, I know I'll find him just the same. If you've gone out on a limb, or your way it may seem dim, don't give up and don't give in, casting all your care upon him. Casting all your care upon him.
Thank you, Brother Greg. Good job. Thank you, ladies. Good singing, amen? And great truth. More than just good singing. Great truth. The truth, as much as I don't want to defer or take away from the singing, the truth is better than the singing. Amen. And I appreciate the good truths to that song. You have your Bible open once again to John 16, verse 33. And I want to complete some things that we began this morning. If you'll remember, we were talking about in this world, this is a promise. It's a promise that not many of us want to claim, but it's certainly a promise that we want to be aware of. And Jesus said, in this world, you shall have. That's in the affirmative. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have some tribulation in this world. And sometimes we have troubles and trials and hardships, and we don't understand really what's going on. But God's Word has some light to shed on some things, and I want to try to help you to shed some light on some things in your own situations in life. Don't have all the answers. As a matter of fact, if you'll hold your place here and just turn back a couple of chapters into John 13, a very familiar section of Scripture where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And you may recall that Peter, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, Peter said in verse number 6 of John 13, The Scripture says, then cometh he to Simon Peter, going to wash his feet. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And there's just some things that take place in our life, brethren, that the Lord is doing in our life. Now, I know what's going on here. Jesus was teaching him something that was going to take place when the Holy Spirit came and in his place in his life, and how that he was going to be with him as the comforter, and how that he was going to clean up his walk. Peter was saying, well, you just wash me all over. He said, no, that's not the way it works. See, there's just some things that God does in our lives that we don't fully understand. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we see through a glass darkly now. But one day, brethren, that's going to change. Amen? God is going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And God is going to reveal some things that we may not fully understand in this life, may not ever understand. But I can tell you this. The Bible has some things to say about why Christians have trouble. And I want you to learn from it so that you'll know how to respond when trouble comes your way. Why? Because the Bible says that if we will receive the trouble that God sends our way, that God allows in our lives, then it will strengthen us. And it will enable us to be better servants. It will help us to be more useful in the ministry that God has placed us in. If you recall, the first thing that we said is that sometimes, and I want you to really underline that word, sometimes trouble in the life of the Christian is chastening. Now, I didn't say all the time. All right, the Bible doesn't teach that. But sometimes God chastens us and causes trouble to come our way to get us back on track. Some folks can't handle prosperity. Amen. I was telling some folks this morning, listen, I enjoy vacation. I enjoy it. But I'm done with wanting to spend my life on vacation. You know, I hear folks, and maybe when we're younger, we say, well, you know, I just like to do this all the time. Not me. You say, well, you're kind of weird. Well, I know that. But I like structure. And I like accomplishment. And I just don't know that God intended life to be fun all the time. I just believe that God uses the work and the structure and a lot of things that God places within the realm of our life as a whole to mold us and to make us into what He would have us to be. And I just think even vacation would lose its luster if it was a way of life. Life is not just one big vacation. Amen. I know it's hard to say it, but it's so. And we need to get focused on what God has us to do. So I want you to understand, I'm not saying that every time that trouble comes your way or hardship or sorrow, well, it's God punishing you. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that sometimes the Bible teaches that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. And when I get out of line, God puts me back in line. It's good for me. I'm glad God does that for me. And it shows that God loves me. And so we don't not faint or despise, the author of the book of Hebrews said, the chastening of the Lord. We ought to receive it and understand that God is doing it to get us back to a place to where we can be useful again. So sometimes, now, I want you to hold your place here. We're going to turn to some scripture tonight because I want you to see these truths. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and then we'll go on to our next point. There's always, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, there's always two things, and I'm still talking about chastisement. I'm adding on to what I didn't say this morning. There's always two C's that'll be going on in your life as a believer, and I want you to write them down. Number one, change. If you get saved, God's going to begin to work change into your life. Amen. Yeah. Folks that say they get saved and there's no change in their life, they didn't get biblical salvation. Right. And so listen, you may not change at the rate and the pace of others, but salvation always brings about change. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are, now watch this, become new. Now that doesn't mean overnight, but that's one C, change. The second C is chastisement. Because when we cease to change, when we cease to grow, we become carnal. Now, you can be a Christian and be carnal, but you can't be carnal and not be chastised. Amen. And so I want you to understand that. There's two seas, the sea of change and the sea of chastisement, that will always be active in our lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, if you'll notice down in verse number 30, 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 30, we talk about this a lot when we were partaking of the Lord's table. And the Bible says this, the Bible says, for this cause, in other words, when people come to the table with unconfessed sin in their life, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Verse number 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now what's Paul saying? He's saying, listen, church, don't make God have to judge you. Because he will. Now you judge sin in your life. Now it's not my place to judge sin in your life. It's my place to judge sin in my life. And it's your place to judge sin in your life. But if we do not judge sin in our life, God will judge it. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So what's he saying? He's saying you can't sin and get by. You need to judge sin in your life. And if you and I, if we do not judge sin in our life, then it's going to bring about God's chastisement in our life. And so sometimes we have trouble as Christians because it's the chastening of the Lord. We just won't do right. We just won't do what God said do. And it's like I used to have to tell my children, and you've had to tell your children, all right, now look what you've done, gone and done. This is not my fault that I'm getting ready to give you a whipping. This is your fault. I gave you instruction and you do not follow them. Now comes correction. Amen. And God will do the same in your life and mine, because when he judges us, when he chastens us as sons. And that's what the book of Hebrews teaches. Number two, so sometimes chastisement or trouble in our lives is chastisement. Number two, sometimes, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, turn there if you would. Sometimes trouble in our life is conditioning. I want to spend a little time here. Conditioning. Brethren, can I tell you that God has placed this ministry here and placed you and I in this ministry for such a time as this? There are broken people. Now listen to me. If you get out in this community and other communities surrounding this community, listen, I know there's broken people all around the world. And I'm mission-minded. Our church is mission-minded. We want to get the gospel to as many places as we can get it. But God has placed this work right here, and he has placed me and you within the scope of the surrounding area of this church. There are broken people in Madison County, Greene County, Albemarle County, Orange County, Culpeper County, Rappahannock County. There are broken people all around us. Broken. Hurting. And the church thing, as people are calling it. Well, you know, we'll go down there to fellowship and do the church thing. We're not doing the church thing here. This is serious business. This is God's business. And the Bible says that God is going to allow a people that he's going to use. God is going to allow them to go through some trouble. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, I want to remind you that Paul is writing this, a man who went through all kinds of perplexities, a man who went through all kinds of trouble in his life. And God used him in a mighty way. And the reason I believe with all of my heart that God was able to use this man is because he allowed trouble in his life. There was a time in Paul's life where he said, God, if you would you take this thorn away from me? He prayed three times, God, take this trouble from me. And God said no. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Now, none of us like trouble. But I'm here to tell you this evening that trouble is good for us. Trouble is good for us when we will receive it. Sometimes trouble is not because you've done wrong. Sometimes trouble is because you're doing right and God says, hey, I've got something very special for you. I've got something just for you. I've got something just for Fellowship Baptist Church. Some of the greatest sermons that's ever been preached came from broken people that went through deep waters and trouble. Some of the greatest songs that's ever been penned down, I think of the song, It Is Well With My Soul, and other great songs that have penned down, and the inspiration came in a deep valley, in deep trouble. Why? Because God uses trouble in our lives to prep us and prepare us to minister to the broken. Notice what he said here in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. See, Paul's getting ready to tell these folks that God's going to send you some trouble, but he said, I want you to know that God is a God of mercy. He's not going to forget you when he allows that trouble to come into your life. God is a God of comfort, and he's not going to leave you there alone when he allows this trouble to come into your life. He said in verse number 4, who, that same God, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, that God is the one who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And Jesus said in John 16, you're going to have it. You're going to have it. And brethren, we are going to have it. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. Why? Because you've done wrong. Nope. He said, so that you may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He said, God will allow you and I to go through things, and he'll be there for us so that when we are ministering to others, we can with great assurance let them know, as God was with me, God will be with you. Amen? As God was with me in my time of trouble, in my deepest valley, I can stand with assurance and tell you that God is no respecter of persons, and God will be with you too. It's God prepping us. I want Fellowship Baptist Church to be a church that ministers to hurting and broken people. I don't want us to get to the place to where everything is so meticulous and we want everything to be just so, and we don't want any of the children, we want any broken people, we want any long hair hippies or any prostitutes in the church coming to hear the gospel and say, oh, well, you know, we'll meet them at the door, preacher. Well, if you do, you escort them to the best seat in the house. Amen. Amen? Why, preacher? Because they're hurting, they're broken. They need fixing, they need Jesus in their life. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And if I'm going to be like Jesus, I too need to be the friend of sinners. I want Fellowship Baptist Church to be known as the church that's the friend of sinners, where people can come and get help and find hope for their broken lives. And when we will allow the trouble that God allows us to go through, when we will receive that, brethren, right here, the scripture teaches, when we will receive it from this verse of scripture, God will comfort us in that trouble so that we can turn to the broken people in this community, to the hurting people in this community, and we can reach out to them in great confidence that God will be their helper, just as God was our helper. I want it. I desire it. What about you? You say, preacher, I don't want any trouble. You know, it would take a fool to say he wanted trouble. I don't know that I could believe a man that if he would stand up and say, I want all the trouble God can give me. I don't know that I could really believe that statement. I can only tell you this, brethren, there's a price to pay to reach a people for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. And sometimes the trouble that we are going through in our lives is God allowing us to go through the furnace of adversity so that he can teach us to properly minister to the broken that he's going to put on the pathway of our lives. I want you to hold your place here and turn to Psalm 119. Turn there if you would. Psalm 119, and we'll look in verse number 67. Psalm 119. I can't tell you how I appreciate the deacons, the pastors, the bus workers, the children's church workers, the juniors workers, the youth workers, the ushers, the people, the music ministry. Listen, there's so many people involved in this work here. And as I visit other churches and I talk to others, I'm just so thankful. I'm not saying that we're all that. What I am saying is this. I thank God for people that will allow God to use them and the talents and the abilities that God has given them. But God has not just given us talents and abilities so that we could promote ourselves. God will bring about hurt and adversity so that those talents and abilities can be honed and sharpened so that we could help others. Notice what David said here in Psalm 119. Look, if you would, in verse number 67. Psalm 119, verse number 67. I think this is just an adequate verse for what we're talking about. David said in verse number 67 of Psalm 119, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." See, trouble sometimes is just good for us. Just gets us back in line. Just keeps us on course. Right? Amen. You say, I can deal with the good times and the high times and the positives and the prosperity. I can deal with those things all my life. Well, God bless you. But now a lot of us just can't do that. Sometimes we just need God. Look at verse number 71. He said it again. He said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." David said, there's something about trouble. There's something about affliction. There's something about the furnace of trials that teaches me some things about God that I can't learn any other place in my life. And that's exactly what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 1. There's just some things that we learn about God in the time of adversity and trial and trouble that God teaches us to make us better ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So sometimes, trouble is chastening from the Lord. But sometimes, it has nothing to do with chastening. It's conditioning. It's God working on us. You know, the little children sing that song, "He still working on me." I'm glad God's still working on me. I don't ever want to get to the place where I feel like I've arrived. You know, I know all I need to know, and I've got the Christian lingo down, and I can just now go through the motions. God, help me never to get to that place. And I don't say that condescending in any way. I just don't ever want to get to the place where I feel like, you know what, I've arrived, and I'm there, and now I'm just going to coast on. If I ever get to that place, I pray that God would send trouble to my life so that I could learn to trust Him anew. A third thing that I want you to know, and as we go to Romans chapter number 8, Trouble is sometimes chastening. Trouble is sometimes conditioning. It's God preparing us to use us in a miraculous way. Romans 8 says that troubling is always. Now listen, I said always. I'm changing up right here. Sometimes trouble, just sometimes, it's chastening. And sometimes it's conditioning. But can I tell you that trouble is always conforming? If you're saved, God is at work in the good and the bad, because all things work together. Look at verse number 28, Romans 8, 28. All things work together. Is that what he said? All things, good, the bad, and even the ugly. Amen. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, God has saved us. God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means God wants me to be like His Son, Jesus. Now, I got to tell you right now, I got a long way to go. I tell you, when I think about this, it breaks me. I'm a long way off, brethren. Long way off. But God's still working on me. I don't ever want to get to the place where I feel adequate, satisfied. I don't ever prepare a message or messages and preach messages and fell out and walk out with my chest bowed out and my head held high like I've done something. I think people mess up when we get to that place. See, God's got a lot of work to do in my life. Now, I want to stand before you tonight and praise God for the work He's already done, because I can guarantee you I'm not what I used to be. You are looking at a vessel of God's grace. I am exhibit A, that the grace of God works. But I'm not all that I should be. And I'm certainly not all I'm going to be. Because God is still conforming me. And I know how stubborn I can be. And I know how hard-headed I can be. And I know how I can be so set on my way that sometimes I'll even say no to God's way. I want my way. And God will have to say, well, now that's going to get you where you need to be in this conforming process, son. So I'm going to have to send a little trouble your way. But I don't want any trouble. Well, you're going to have to get it if you're going to get conformed to my son. Because it was through much suffering that Jesus did the will of God. So this conforming thing, and that, look what it says in verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Are you becoming more like Jesus? If you're truly saved, you are. That's why you're not what you used to be if you're truly saved. Because before you got saved, you were all you. Now, you're not all you. Because the divine nature of God lives in you, and He is conforming you, and He is conforming me into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So trouble, sometimes chastening. Sometimes it's conditioning, but it's always, listen to me now, always conforming. This is where the hard part comes in. Whether it's chastening, whether it's conditioning, regardless of the trouble that I receive in my life, God allows that. God even will sometimes become a part of sending that into my life to cause me to be more like His Son. This thing of being conformed to Jesus is not taught on a lot. I think some people think that God saves them so they can just live like they want and do as they please. That's not why God saved you. Right here in this verse of Scripture, the Bible says why God foreknew you and predestinated you and saved you in His grace. So He can make you like, and me like His Son. And sometimes we forget about this. And we think about us and our dreams and our aspirations and all that we want to be in life instead of realizing that God wants us to be like His Son. That's why I want to be a friend of sinners, because that's His Son was a friend of sinners. I want to put others before myself. I don't want to be a taker in life. I want to be a giver, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Brethren, I tell you, this thing of being like Jesus is real. And I think and I fear that because our churches have gotten away from being like Jesus, that more and more people are turning away from the church. God help you. God help me. God help Fellowship Baptist Church to be like Jesus. Let's be conformed. Now listen, you're going to be whether you want to or not. See, that'll determine the trouble that you go through. So, preacher, I'm going to do it my way. You might ought to write these notes down. Because God is going to conform you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're saved now, there are no ifs, ands, and buts about this. God, listen, you can't, there's no reading between the lines here. Verse number 28 says that them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. It's predetermined. It's going to happen. But now that's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. We're going to be like Jesus, brethren. Amen. We're going to be like Jesus. I want you to turn to Psalm 17. I want to show you a wonderful truth, all right? Psalm 17. David, who authored many of the Psalms, I want you to think about this now before we read this in Psalm 17. See, I long for the day where I can do everything that pleases God. I hadn't been able to get away from Brother Moore's messages during our fall jubilee. I want to please God. I want to please God with my life. More so now than ever, I want to please God with my life. And yet, I fall so short. Seems like sometimes the harder I try, the more short I come up. And sometimes it can be frustrating. It's just this old flesh we live in, isn't it? I'm not making excuses. It just is what it is, brethren. You may look at the preacher and think, well, the preacher, he seems to be a satisfied man. I'm a very unsatisfied man with me. I'm not unsatisfied with my wife. I'm very satisfied with my wife. I'm not unsatisfied with my children, my in-laws, with the church and the flock that God's given me to shepherd. But I am very dissatisfied with me, because I know I fall short. I just want to please God with my life. I want to please Him. I think about David. And when you read this verse, I hope it'll mean something to you like it's meant to me through the years. David was the king of Israel. Now think about that for a moment. The king of God's chosen people, nationally speaking. The king. A man after God's own heart. Think about that. Wrote some of the greatest songs ever been written. Was a great shepherd. What a great leader. What a fearless leader David was. And yet David said, I'm not satisfied with my life. You know why? Because David knew what I think every person in this building really knows, whether we're willing to admit it or not, and that is we fall so short. Sometimes we think we're about that close from the bottom. Notice in Psalm 17, David said this in the latter part of Psalm 17. Look at verse 15. We'll just read that one verse. David said, as for me, he said, listen, I can't speak for you, but as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. Now when, David? When I become king of Israel. Nope. When I write the psalmist, the Psalm 23. Nope. When they say to me that I am a man after God's own heart. Nope. He said, I'll not be satisfied until I awake with thy likeness. I'm not going to be satisfied till I become like you, Lord. When I become like you, then I'll really know what it is to be satisfied. Now there's a man that knows what he's going after. He understands himself. What about you? What's it take to satisfy you? Really satisfy you? Me. See, trouble. Now listen, don't you think David didn't have trouble? You don't have to study David's life very deeply and understand here was a man who had a lot of trouble and adversity. And God allowed it to make him and to mold him into the man that he was. Now some of it is brought on himself, just like you and I, we bring things on ourselves. But God allowed this trouble in his life to make him and to mold him. And David said, though I'm thankful for all of these things, I'm thankful that I'm the king of Israel. I'm thankful that I'm a man after God's own heart. I'm thankful that I'm a leader and I get to do these things for God. But I'm not satisfied, though I'm thankful. But I will be satisfied one day when I awake with thy likeness. It's going to happen, brethren. One glorious daybreak, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One day I'm never going to let God down again. I don't know about you, but that just thrills my soul. Never going to let him down again. Never going to fall short. Never going to come short. Never. I'm going to please him the way that he deserves and desires to be pleased. Trouble is sometimes chastening. Trouble is sometimes conditioning. It's always conforming. All right? Trouble is always conforming. And so receive what God puts into your life and allow Him to conform you. I'm not going to go into great detail with this because I've got one final thought and then I'll be through tonight. You ought to study the pearl. Now, for years, people thought it was a grain of sand or glass, but they say now that it may be a parasite that gets into the osseous or the mussel or the clam. And you know how that through hardship and through the discretion of the solution that pearl is made into what it is. And it could take up from 1 year, depending on the size of the pearl, from 1 year up to 20 years for that pearl to become what it is. But it's through suffering It's through hardship. It's not just easy. I think sometimes people look at Christian life and they think, well, you know what? It ought to be easy. Why am I not having an easy life? Because life is not easy. Please listen to me. I think we're messing up by teaching the next generation and trying to give them everything that maybe we didn't have, or make life different for them. Listen, brethren, we talk about the good old days. Then let's train our children that way.
Right.
Amen. I think sometimes we talk about the good old days like they were good old days, but we're doing everything the way that the world is saying do it to today. Want our children to have everything. I don't think children ought to have everything. I think some parents need to learn the word no. Children's going to get mad and write to, don't give them my email address. Amen. They don't write letters. I can remember one, I'll tell you, this is just how I fall short. So I'm canceling the married couple and I'm saying, listen, I got to tell you, and this hadn't been too awful long ago, and I said, listen, I got to tell you, I'll tell you something really that I think is very good. I think that you ought to do. I think you ought to write each other notes. And they kind of looked at me like, do what? I said, I think you ought to write each other letters. And then one of them spoke up and said, you mean text? I said, yeah. Yeah, in our day it was called letters. All right, you text if you want to. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we listen to the world and we try to follow whatever the world does. You know, we want to stay just far enough behind the world so that we won't be called worldly, but we get all of our advice and all of our fashion and all the way that we approach life from the world. Brethren, that's not what God wants you and I to do as believers. God's made you unique. There's one of you. I tell you, you begin to study DNA and it will absolutely, it will do great things for you to understand that there is a God in heaven who is sovereign and providential and all powerful. There's one of you. And God made you unique. And He gave you a purpose. Find that purpose on your knees. And don't you let anyone or anything stop you from fulfilling it. For the glory of God. You're going to have trouble. So, well, I want to do everything I can to avert and stay away from trouble. Well, you're not going to be able to do that now. Now, I'm not saying run out and find it. Right? Go out and make up some. Stir up some trouble. I'm not saying that. You won't have to do that. There's enough of it out there. It'll find you. Amen? So God uses trouble. Why do Christians have trouble? I don't know what you're going through tonight. I know what God laid on my heart. God laid on my heart to preach this to you. Some of you, maybe you're having family trouble. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe a child is beginning to rebel. Maybe there's some trouble in your marriage. Maybe there's some trouble within your family, in your home. Maybe extended family. I don't know. Maybe you're having financial trouble. You're struggling financially. Maybe your health, you're having physical trouble. And it's got you down and you're getting discouraged about it. And you're wondering, why is God allowing this? Why is God doing this to me? God is working on you. God is allowing this. Sometimes it could be chastening. You need to check up. I can't say what it is. Don't come and ask me. I don't know. But I can tell you from the authority of God's word, sometimes trouble in the life of a believer is chastening. And sometimes it's conditioning. It may be, not that God's chastening you, it may be that God is so pleased with your life that He says, I want to raise the level. I want to do greater things through you. And so He's going to condition you to minister to more broken and hurt people. So He's going to allow you to experience some things so He can minister to you and you can draw closer to Him and you can take that closeness as you go out into ministry and minister to other people. But always, trouble is conforming. We're becoming more like Jesus. To the place where we could say, not my will be done, but thy will. Have you got there yet? Have you gotten there to where in every instance of life, listen, I'm not talking about the church life only. I'm talking about being like Jesus at home, being like Jesus at work, Being like Jesus out on the ball field. Being like Jesus no matter who you're with and where you are. Being like Jesus. Conforming. And then finally, turn as I close here in John chapter number 9. Trouble is for the glory of God. Now I believe I speak to a group of people here tonight. I really mean this. That want to bring glory to God's name. I don't think there's a one of us that would stand and say, "Preacher, I'm not the least bit interested in bringing glory to God's name." I believe that you want to bring glory to God's name. Well, trouble will do that. So how can that happen? Well, look at this occasion. You know, in John chapter 9, you know this occasion. It was an occasion where Jesus healed a blind man. Let's read it in verse number 1. John chapter number 9, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents," watch this now, "but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." God allowed this trouble, God allowed this hardship, God allowed this affliction, so that God could show he's a great worker. He's a great miracle worker. He's a compassionate God. That he cares about people. Even a man that the Bible doesn't even give his name. A no name. But yet he's not a no name in the eyes of God. God saw his affliction and God said, "I'm going to use that man's trouble. I'm going to use that man's affliction. And I'm going to show forth my glory through his life." You may be sitting here and you may have an affliction. You may have a physical affliction. You may have a mental affliction. You may have some things in your body or in your mind or in your way of life that you feel like is a shortcoming and you feel like I've been undercut. I've been left out in this area. But I want to tell you, God can take that and God can use it to bring glory to his name. I get back to Paul now. And here's a man that God was greatly using. And he had a thorn in his side. And he said, "God," he said, "I'm praying that you would take this thorn." And God said, "Not going to do it." He prayed thrice. You know what God told him? He said, "I'm not going to do it." In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9, he said, "But my grace," now listen to me, "but my grace shall be sufficient for thee." He said, "Because in your weakness, my strength is going to be shown." You see, our weaknesses sometimes, the things that we are without, the things that we feel so inadequate in, the things that we feel like that we bear as an affliction or a burden, God said, "I'm going to take that very thing and I'm going to magnify it and I'm going to show myself strong in behalf of your life." Aren't you glad God is good like that? I'm so thankful that God is that way. So you may be looking at it as an affliction. You may be looking at it as a weakness or something that you're going to have to bear all your life in embarrassment. But God's looking at it and saying, "I'm going to use that to work through your life to minister to other people." Trouble. Trouble. I mentioned a little bit this morning Job. I tell you, when I read about the life of Job, I feel so ashamed. You know the story. Man had it all. Man had it all. Good family. Wealth, health. Good family. Good reputation. Thought he had friends. Right? And Satan went and said, "You know what? And I'm just going to throw some of y'all in there. You know what? If the Oliver family's got it good. God's been good to the Oliver family. God's been good to the Faulkner family, Freeman family, the Thompson family. Right? God's been good to the Browns and the Shiflets, the Merrimans, in Bowdens. Right? The devil goes and says, "God's been good," and he can name any family in this church. And there's not a family in this church that couldn't stand up and say, "Preacher, God has been far better to me than I deserve." Amen? Amen. God's been good to me. The devil goes before God, as we know the story in Job, and it's the only reason that Job praises you, the only reason that Job, and I'm paraphrasing, even gives you the time of day. Look at all you've given him. Well, my goodness, give a man a good family, give him wealth and health, and give him everything one could ask for. Well, anybody would praise a God like that. You give me some time with Job, and I'll take everything he's got, and he'll curse you to your face. God said, have at it. I'm just going to give you the short version. The devil began to take and to take and to take. And no doubt the devils of hell, some of them were in the form of friends, were saying, well, if you wasn't sinning, you wouldn't be having this trouble. If you wasn't this way, you wouldn't be going through this. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. What an attitude. Amen. That fires me up. I believe the angels in heaven were saying, go, Job. You go, boy. Amen. You tell them. You tell them, Job. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Woo! You tell them, Job. Amen. You tell them, Job. How are you going to receive trouble? How am I going to receive it? He's tried me. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Isn't that what Job said? Amen. What a saint of God. What a saint of God. You know what the average Christian in our day would do? Quit. Well, God doesn't love me. I tried that church thing. It doesn't work. I'm washing my hands of church. I'm through with preachers. I'm through with Christians. They're all hypocrites. The Bible's not so. I'm afraid many of them bailed out on empty right before God's getting ready to fill their tank up, Brother David. Don't you bail out on empty now. Because I'm here to tell you, God ever empties your tank, he's going to give you twofold of what he took. And Job stuck around and experienced it. Is that what this book teaches, brother? Can I tell you, this book's always right. Never wrong. This old book right here is never wrong. Now, we're going to have some trouble, all right? We're going to have it. So I want you to just go ahead and get that settled right now. You're going to have some trouble. And it's going to be in probably in most, if not every area of our lives, we're going to have it. But we just need to trust God and to know that God makes no mistakes. And we need to support one another and pray for one another and edify one another and encourage one another through the hard times. And sometimes we just need to remind one another, brother, as God was with such and such, God will be with you. Put your arm around a struggling brother and just say, hey, I want to tell you about something that happened in my life. I don't share this with many people, but there was a time when I was very low. And you begin to tell that brother, that sister, that family, something that God done in your life, and it'll give them, it's almost like a refueling. It'll give them a renewed hope. But you know what? If God will do that for the Martina family, God, the DeMartino family, God will do that for me. Amen? God will do that for Corey and Lauren. God will do that for me and my wife. And he will. So trouble. You going through some trouble? Are you? Have you begun to wonder, where's God? And all the trouble. I wish I could sing. We used to hear a song years ago. I hadn't heard it in many years. And I don't even know that I could sing all the words. I can't even sing all the words looking at a song book, so I know I can't sing all the words without one. Amen. Perhaps you've heard the song that in the chorus says something like this, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend who really cares and understands. I tell you right now, brethren, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. And if there's trouble in your life, it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose that God has for your life. Let's all stand to our feet. Now sometimes, and I can't overemphasize it, sometimes trouble in the life of a believer is chastening. And you have to determine that. Examine yourself. Do an evaluation. Do a self-check. Am I living my life the way God would be pleased with me to live my life. And if not, it just may be that some of the trouble that's going on in your life, and it may not be on the outward, it may be some things on the inward. Some of the things you're experiencing, emotions or discouragement, it may be chastening. Sometimes, trouble in the life of a believer is conditioning. There's been times in Sharon and I's life that we would talk and we would get excited. I'd say, honey, I feel like we're on the brink of something big here. Well, it's looking kind of bleak right now, Dale. Yeah, I know. It's getting ready to look up, though. I feel like God's getting ready to break through and do something special. And I mean, we have lived to see God do some mighty, mighty things. It's conditioning. God may be getting ready to do that in some of your lives. So don't faint now. Don't be discouraged. Receive what God is doing to help you become a better minister. It's always conforming. And it's for God's glory.